Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Friday, a glorious Friday, filled with all sorts of drama. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, on the phone this morning, texting, calling, talking to people in the know. 1 hour from now, the Blazing Five. It should be noted, off a winning week. Nothing but winners here. Joy Taylor's a winner. Joy, this week for us, I don't want to get into rating success, but it's been quite plentiful for us. It has been a lot of fun and a lot of drama and a lot of stars, and I've had so much fun this week.
It has been a wild week. I'm not going to lie. I had to have a glass of wine last night.
To celebrate.
Yeah. Just take it down a couple notches. There's a lot going on this week, and it is not over. And now this weekend of games has so much on the line.
Oh, my. So, OBJ is officially no longer a Cleveland Brown. Not to say I told you so, but I kind of told you so. I have this theory. I've written about it called the Say It Out Loud theory. So, here was the biggest celebrity wide receiver. Houses in New York, vacations in Paris, house in Hollywood. Playing for a blue blood NFL franchise that had won multiple Super Bowls with probably a Hall of Famer, Eli Manning. And he gets traded to a losing culture, a cocky young quarterback, a front office in turmoil in Ohio. Yeah, I'm going to go with it doesn't work. It wasn't hard to see. In fact, his first year, not making this up, one of our bosses here at Fox, his dog ran out of his yard. 5 minutes later, OBJ came over the fence and says, "This your dog?" He was in Los Angeles that first year. It felt like more than Cleveland. He didn't want to be there. And by the way, most of the big moves in the NFL that work sound like they would work. Tom Brady is going to go to Tampa, and they are stacked with wide receiver and tight end talent. Yeah, that's going to work. Matt Stafford, super talented. He's going to join the brilliant offensive head coach, Sean McVay. Yeah, that kind of sounds like it worked. Stephon Diggs, one of the great receivers, deep threats in the NFL, is going to join cannon for an arm, Josh Allen. Yeah, I think that's going to work. DeAndre Hopkins is going to join an emerging star at quarterback, Kyler Murray, with an offensive coach who loves the big play in Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah, those sound like they're going to work. Or flashy superstar, big city receiver, known for drama, to young, cocky quarterback, losing culture, turmoil everywhere in a really tough division. Come on, man. Open your eyes, Browns fans. We've been telling you this for 2-3 years now. The data even suggested very early. It doesn't work. It's too much pressure on Baker. It's just too much pressure. That's why I said I'm not blaming anybody. Now, do I think there's a market for OBJ? I think it's very tiny. I was on the phone this morning with an executive in the NFL who had faced him earlier this year. He's not a guy you have to game plan around. I do think if you add him to a very strong winning culture in Kansas City, a strong winning culture in New England, a strong winning culture, say, in Baltimore, a strong winning culture in New Orleans, I think it can work. Again, strong winning culture. Formidable, respected head coach. Now, it should be noted, some things do work that don't sound like they'll work. I'll give you an example. I didn't think this was going to work. I was shocked. Impatient, pretty rigid, high basketball IQ, demanding point guard Chris Paul to the tanking Oklahoma City Thunder and all those kids. I'm like, oh, he's going to be screaming at these guys. I'll be damned, that thing worked. That was good. So sometimes It's not perfect. I did not think the Chris Paul to Oklahoma City had a shot, and it was great. But my theory, though, on why Cleveland went after OBJ, and I have long held this belief, that losing sports teams have what I call low sports self-esteem. And they often take weird, unnecessary risks to solve their many problems. They overcompensate. That's what John Dorsey did here. This is what people often do that don't save their money and invest early in life. They take big, unnecessary swings in their 60s on investments to overcompensate for mistakes earlier in life. This was never going to work. And ask yourself this, Ohio, and you watch the show, though you claim you don't, because I see the ratings. What works in Cleveland? Grinder J.C. Tretter, the center who was the president of the Players Association, smart and a grinder. Midwestern work ethos, Joe Thomas. Overlooked Nick Chubb. Hardworking, loves football, grinder Jarvis Landry. Not dramatic receivers and cocky quarterbacks. Cleveland's history, Brian Sipe, Bernie Kosar. Go look at your baseball, your basketball, LeBron James. Yeah, he's a star. But LeBron James, high standards, puts the work in, very demanding, very smart. That's what works in Cleveland because it mostly works everywhere. But losing franchises take big swings to overcompensate for their many holes. This was never going to work. We had our doubts. We told you early. The data suggested it wasn't working, and you kept clinging to it. Hopefully now that you're a better franchise today than 3 years ago, you'll make the next several steps. Cocky isn't how you win Super Bowls. Nick Chubb, J.C. Tretter, Jarvis Landry, the soul of your franchise now is grinders, overlooked grinders. So this is interesting. And by the way, the New York Jets, that game last night, the Jets, I thought Robert Saleh was a defensive whiz. Adam Gase was hired for offense. Every year the offense got worse. Robert Saleh was hired for defense. And that first half by the Jets defensively was one of the worst defensive first halves I've seen all years. But here's what's interesting. So it got to be a little concerning that the backup quarterbacks for the Jets in the last 2 weeks have thrown for 412 yards and four touchdowns. And that is way better than Zach Wilson. Now, Zach Wilson is a rookie. But remember, New York, you blame Sam Darnold for all your problems. He's now 4-4, five rushing touchdowns, would be in the playoffs today. And that's not with a great team. That's with Carolina, probably a bottom three offensive line. He is now apparently competent. And I'm not saying Darnold's great, but you blamed him for everything. The Colts last night, first half alone, four drives, four TDs, 280 yards. And you have a defensive head coach. So it's increasingly looking toxic. And what worries me is, and this is why I worried about Zach Wilson, Belichick in a year and a half has turned around New England. They look real. And Mike McCarthy, y'all criticize Mike McCarthy, but he's been there a year and a half. They look really good in Dallas. And you, the New York Jets, in the last 11 years, you're on your fourth head coach, your fourth general manager, and your sixth quarterback. The Jets are now getting into Detroit Lions territory. No division titles for now, what, 19 years? You're getting into a really toxic territory where free agents will look at you, roll their eyes, and choose your rival. And the scariest part is you have a new GM and a new coach. You can't start over. But I said this about Zach Wilson. I said my doubts about Zach Wilson is that he played hero ball, that he was cocky, and sometimes he played entitled. I likened him to a much better version of Johnny Manziel, who was often playing for himself, not for the team. I got a lot of pushback on that. But as you watch Robert Saleh talk after the game, listen to his words and listen to what he's saying.
that's part of the beauty of being able to sit back and watch and learn and see the offense from being run through the lens of another quarterback. Now he's got two quarterbacks who have been very efficient in the way they've run this offense. And so for him, you know, just to understand, you know, we talk about boring. It's not necessarily boring to take what the defense has given you.
Hey, Zach, stop showing off. Stop showing off. Take what the defense gives you. And this is why where a quarterback lands matter. It is really hard for all these young quarterbacks. That's why I try to not be too brutal first year in the league. It's hard. Then you add organizational dysfunction. Are we really surprised that Mac Jones is the quarterback that appears to be growing most quickly and that Justin Fields has often been engulfed by a terrible offensive line and Trevor Lawrence is having to overcome an awful defense? Robert Saleh is telling you, hey, rookie quarterback, stop playing hero ball. This is why I predicted the Jets would be last. They'd win 4 or 5 games. And my number one quarterback concern in this league for all these rookies, it wasn't Trevor, it wasn't Justin, it wasn't Trey Lance, it wasn't Mac Jones, it was Zach Wilson. Having to overcome this level of toxicity and dysfunction for a good quarterback, for a veteran quarterback, would be a handful. All right, apparently Aaron Rodgers, this is a weird story. I'm going to have to ask Joy about this because this is an odd story. Apparently Aaron Rodgers is furious that the news got out that he was unvaccinated. I'll try to unpack that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card first year automatically, and there's no limit. Pretty amazing. Go to discover.com/yes. So according to Pro Football Talk, that's a website, Aaron Rodgers, per a league source, is furious over the fact that his true status was leaked. Rodgers consistently did not wear a mask when in the public eye, even in circumstances when he should have. That also helped him sort of hide the truth, right? So he got caught lying here. He should have been wearing a mask, and he wasn't. But he is furious over the fact that his status was leaked. Time out. Dude, be mad at yourself. Okay, the reason we found out was because simply of league protocol. This was not media hiding in bushes, going through dumpsters, hovering around your house. The original report regarding his positive test included a clear statement that he'd miss Sunday's game, an implicit acknowledgement that, as vaccinated players would be, he would not be eligible to generate 2 negative tests in 24 hours apart to make it back Sunday. So therefore, we knew, reporters jumped on it, connected the dots, he is not vaccinated. This is classic Aaron Rodgers playbook. Blame others. Blame the media. I can't. Bruh. You tried to concoct some witch's brew. The league said, no, it doesn't count. It's not on us. We just found out about it. You didn't get vaccinated. You said immunized. That's not on us. You said it. I have been critical of Aaron in his career by the same methods of just connecting the dots. I've had multiple people tell me he will ghost them on the phone if they're ever critical. I had 2 teammates tell me he was highly moody. There was multiple family members who publicly called him out. So when I have said, I think Aaron's a handful to deal with, I do not believe it's irresponsible or outrageous. I am just connecting the dots. And once again, Aaron is going to the classic Aaron playbook. You pointing, you, Aaron, you failed a test, and your inability to play gave everybody a connect the dots route to you're not vaccinated, which it's been discovered you're not. That is not on us. We are not being irresponsible. We are not diving through dumpsters or hiding in bushes. I mean, this stuff now, I mean, this Aaron is a lot of work. Again, I'm connecting the dots, right? But this is another example of the classic Aaron playbook. The media is wildly irresponsible. They, family members, teammates, ghosting people, lying, manipulating words in the, come on now. I have not seen a single member of the media in the last 3 or 4 days, I could be wrong on this, that has been, at least the ones I follow, that have been irresponsible. I can argue there was a quarterback who was irresponsible. And by the way, I criticize Cam Newton and Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins. So I would be a complete hypocrite if I did not similarly criticize Aaron Rodgers. As I've said, teams carry 7 receivers and 8 linebackers and 4 tight ends. And a quarterback has a different burden of responsibility on the vaccination. The league doesn't mandate it, and most of society is not mandating it, but there are people in the corner office who maybe have more connectivity to workers or more responsibility, or they're more crucial, that I think should get it out of a responsibility to people beyond themselves. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I mean, personally, I'm shocked that someone who isn't vaccinated thinks that everything is a conspiracy against them. Illuminating. So Dak Prescott is expected to return this week and start against the Broncos after missing last game with a calf strain. He said he feels pretty close to 100% and that it's safe to say that he will be the starter. He was back as a full participant with the team on Thursday, so that's good news. And Zach Martin said Dak looked great and ready to go following practice. Now, they are 9.5-point favorites against the Broncos this weekend.
Blazing 5, Cowboys game is involved in this. You know what I love that Dallas did, and it's now been reported. Matt Mosley told me this on my podcast last week. He said Dallas knew he wasn't going to play, and it's now been confirmed. But it was gamesmanship. They flew him to Minnesota. They had him go through the pregame stuff. So the Vikings were like, we're preparing for, they didn't want him to, you know, dive deep into Cooper Rush stuff, perhaps. So there was real gamesmanship by the Cowboys, and we've been critical through the years on Dallas. So we've got to tip our cap occasionally. The Cowboys have done very well, Joy. The last 2 drafts have secured 4 great new players, and this was pretty clever gamesmanship.
I think that Dallas is starting to put it together.
I know. So do I.
They're 5-1. They beat the Vikings last week with Cooper Rush starting.
Big favorite over Denver and then Atlanta. So 2 teams with fairly immobile quarterbacks that should struggle with Dallas's front.
I mean, I think the Cowboys should win convincingly this weekend.
And next weekend. Yeah, they match up well with Denver and Atlanta.
I'm still waiting to see what they do in the postseason. That's all. That's all, Cowboys fans. I picked them to win the division. I thought that they would win it easily. I thought Dak was the reason why. But, you know, I just want to... so we'll wait and see what happens in the season, because the Cowboys have put together lots of very interesting, fun, competitive regular seasons over the years. And we get all excited because it's America's team and it's the Cowboys. And listen, we love it when the Cowboys are good around here.
Oh, okay. Hey, Steelers, Packers, Niners, you know, I mean, Ohio State football, Duke basketball, Notre Dame. There are teams that benefit us when they win. I never lose, you know, I like to see Notre Dame pick up 9, 10, 11 wins a year. I'm not going to lie about that.
They're 6-1, not 5-1. So Jordan Love will get his first NFL start on Sunday against the Chiefs.
Fascinated. Totally fascinated.
Really interesting.
Cannot wait.
Well, you know, I don't think this game lost. It lost its, like, you know, Titans against each other luster. Right. But it did not lose any eyeballs. Like, everyone's going to be checking in to see what Jordan Love is capable of.
So that's what we think, because we're in the business. Because I can't wait to watch it. I cannot wait to watch Jordan Love.
Well, I mean, Packers fans aren't going anywhere.
That's right. But is the nation saying, I'm interested in Jordan Love?
Cause, I think so.
Because I cannot wait to watch. I mean, listen, if Aaron Rodgers shows up, Aaron's great. Patrick is great. I like Green Bay to win that game. I thought the betting line was weird. I think Green Bay was going to control the game. But now, what if Jordan Love comes out and crushes it? I mean, then we've got Aaron, and there's trade value. Remember, New England got a 2nd for Garoppolo. If Aaron goes on and wins the Super Bowl and Jordan Love crushes it this week and perhaps next.
No, the trade value goes up. Or if he's terrible, then the Packers are probably even in more trouble. Well, Andy Reid is preparing his team to face the same offense no matter who is under center.
You know that they're not going to completely change the whole offense. I mean, that's not going to happen. They're still going to run the offense. They did that with him in the preseason. And it looked like he did a nice job with it. So if that's the case, you're prepping for the offense, and then you take those unique qualities that each one has and you work on that. But, you know, that's how you go about it.
Well, I don't know that preseason is the best gauge, but that's all that they have to go off of.
He has a lot. I will say this. From what I've seen, I'm no expert. I've watched what you have. He's a big athletic kid with a lively arm.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all I know. And you guys all love Zach Wilson. And he's a kid with a lively arm.
I don't doubt the physical capability of most of the quarterbacks.
Oh, no, physically, I think he's... I just don't know if he can handle the pressure, a muddy pocket.
Decision-making.
I don't know.
That's the question. So he did come in for Rodgers in the Packers blowout loss to the Saints. So you can do with that whatever you will. It was 5-7 for 68 yards and lost a fumble. But that's the only action that we saw of him during the regular season. The Chiefs are favored by 7 this weekend, according to Fox Bet.
Okay.
I don't... What do
you think?
It's
not one of my blazing 5 picks, but the number got up to 7.5, and my theory was I'm taking Green Bay. I think it's going to be it'll be a little lower scoring than we would anticipate a Packer-Chiefs game.
Right.
I think I told you this. I think he's going to be fine. I think we're going to look at Jordan Love and go, as long as he doesn't make the big mistakes, I think he's going to be fine. This is a well-coached, well-run, Devontae's back. The O-line protection is generally strong.
It is big that Devontae's back.
And Dylan, the running back, they now have a two-headed running back team that's very proficient. I think Green Bay can go there and, oh my, I think they could win. I think the Packers could win.
Well, first and second-year quarterbacks are combined 23-44 against Andy Reid coach teams.
All right. See the 123.
8-23 at the Chiefs, 15-21. With the Eagles. So I don't think I'm going to go anywhere near this with my money. I think I'm just going to watch it and you know, digest it. But it's a very interesting line because the Packers are still a great team.
Yes.
It's just kind of
excellent
team. It's in Jordan Love's hands. So the Lakers seem to be on their way to a win. They can't keep a lead against the Thunder, apparently. 19-point lead. OKC came back from a 26-point deficit last week to beat the Lakers and rallied for another one last night in L.A. They outscored the Lakers 35-24 in the fourth quarter to get the 107-104 win. But the story was Russell Westbrook, who had quite a few miscues at the end of the game with the game on the line. He turned the ball over with less than 30 seconds to go and missed a game-tying 3 as time expired. He also had a really weird miscue on the defensive ends, just leaving his man for an easy layup. So, you know, it's just an odd ending for him. But he did have 22.2 points, 8.4 rebounds, 8.1 assists. And he's averaging that this season, 4.8 turnovers per game as well. So mm-hmm. The other story is LeBron is expected to miss at least 1 week with an abdominal strain.
Listen, LeBron's in year, 18, 19? He takes time off. And this team is not the same. Incredibly valuable.
It's just concerning that he's missing this time so early. The games next week for them are at the Blazers, the Hornets, the Heat, and Timberwolves at home. So it's quite a stretch for them going into another week without LeBron James.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Football Morning in America by Peter King at NBCSports.com. Let's bring him on. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I know this will be classified as a risky take. I think Green Bay has a chance to win. I think he's going to be fine. I think it's a well-coached team. I joke on this show, Jordan loves Bigfoot. I have grainy pieces of video, 2 of them. I have no idea what he is. But I got to tell you, Peter, this is a well-run organization. We're seeing it with Mac Jones in New England, young quarterbacks with good, solid coaching and defenses that can keep it close. I mean, what are your expectations? I think Green Bay is going to be in this game to the very end.
Look, you know, there's one thing that I think we're all forgetting about. Okay, Jordan Love, a year and a half ago, was a highly regarded prospect.
Yeah.
Okay, he may not have been a top six or eight in the draft guy. I mean, and he wasn't, obviously. But the one thing about this guy as a player is that he had a lot of people who really liked him a lot. And so they didn't like him enough to take him in the top 10. So we all understand that. But I also think that being in the Green Bay system for a year and a half, watching Aaron Rodgers, you know, and sort of following Aaron Rodgers, and also being coached by a really good offensive staff. So I don't know how he's going to play, but I do know this, that Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett know what this guy, Jordan Love, can do and do pretty well.
Yeah.
From watching him in practice for a year and a half, to think that they're going to put him into this game and he'll just crumble. It's preposterous to me.
Yeah.
Now, he might crumble, but I kind of think that these coaches are smart enough to know what works, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So I had an league executive this morning who I trust, who had faced OBJ earlier this year, said he's incredibly undisciplined as a route runner. He's going to need a very strong coach and a very strong culture because he was just sort of doing his own thing with Stefanski and Baker Mayfield. So, listen, there wasn't a big market for him, Peter. We know this, okay? He can be brittle, and he's expensive. Do you think there's a fit that you've heard about or you think that works?
I think the New Orleans Saints would work perfectly if, and this is a very big if Odell doesn't care about money. The Saints have done a lot to restructure and to fit a lot of people, you know, onto their team in their salary cap this year. And as you know, Colin, before the year, the salary cap went down $16 million, and they had so many heavy contracts dating from the last couple of years. And now Michael Thomas is gone. I mean, Michael Thomas is already looking like one of the worst contracts any team has ever given a player. He's given him one game in 2 years. But the reason why Odell Beckham would be so good in that system is not because, oh, it'd be wonderful to go home. It's because Sean Payton can figure out what to do with talented players. And look, we might all just say, your theory makes an awful lot of sense because, you know, Odell Beckham has zero touchdowns in his last 9 games, and he's done absolutely nothing this year. And my only theory about that is that perhaps Baker Mayfield simply cannot trust him to run a disciplined route, yeah. So he looks elsewhere.
Yeah. So, listen, if I had a Hall of Fame vote, I'd put Aaron Rodgers in. He's one of those Marino, Elway, first ballot guys. I don't doubt that. I have been. I think sometimes he can be a tad manipulative with the media, a little bit of a finger pointer, and I've said that for years. I've seen family members call him out. But be that as it may, he's great, and there's a reason they keep ending up, you know, in NFC championships. But in this instance, what would worry me is that if you look, this was working out perfectly, Peter. Warm weather Arizona dome team, warm weather Tampa, warm weather dome team Rams. We're going to have to go to Lambeau. It was perfect. I mean, this was the perfect year. They're rolling. They're winning. It was going to be December, January. It's 9 degrees. And here comes, you know, the warm weather dome team up. And I'm like, boy, this is really. And now no Aaron for Kansas City. One day of prep potentially for Seattle. Let me just throw this out there. Could he potentially, not wearing masks at certain times, could this get worse, or are we seeing the worst punishment?
I don't know how anybody can know yet, because no one knows. The NFL has the right, if it chooses, to look at 30 days of video from inside the Packers training facility. So if that's the case, and if there are significant violations, the NFL could come down hard on the Packers. There's no question about it. You know, could those things include a suspension? I doubt it. It would be unprecedented.
Yeah.
Could it include taking away a draft choice? Yeah, of course it could.
Yeah.
And a lot of money?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It could. But those things are not going to determine who wins or loses this year. Those things are for the future and, you know, defraying the Packers' bottom line. My biggest concern would be that if Aaron Rodgers is going to miss that Seattle game next weekend,
yeah.
You know, look, how long, if he's ill, and we don't even know that, how long is he going to be out? And if he has become ill, is it going to take him a while to come back and to play like Aaron Rodgers? Those are the things we just don't know yet.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Cam Newton, when he came back from COVID for a couple of weeks, somebody else did. They came back and they really struggled with energy and fatigue. That's a very good point. We just don't know. You know, finally, it was fascinating the other day. We had a guest on, I forget who, but they said what the Rams are doing now is that at the key positions, corner, pass rusher, quarterback, they're going to give away draft picks, and then they'll fill in guard, linebacker, safety. They'll go to the draft for those. Was it Thomas Dimitroff came on? He said it's kind of genius that they're a little like the opposite of the Colts. The Colts are really good everywhere, but they're not great at left tackle. They're not great at corner. They're not great at wide receiver. But they're really good everywhere. And the Rams... Were you surprised by the Von Miller move? Because I looked, it was so funny. I was looking last night at their two deeps, and I'm like, man, this pass rush is going to be a handful around this league. I mean, what did you make of the move?
Look, I've talked to somebody with the Rams who convinced me that. Look, you can have your opinion about whether you think it's a good move or a bad move, but Colin, I don't think you're going to see an awful lot of Von Miller. I think maybe he plays half the snaps the rest of the year, and he's a situational guy. I think this was a trade for January and February.
Yeah.
And I think right now the Rams know they're going to be playing in those games then. The biggest question is, would you pay a third-round pick for Denver to pick up $7 million of his $7.8 million salary or whatever it was the rest of the way? And the Rams said, yes, we would do that. That's how much we want this piece. And I think this piece to the Rams is worth a lot, even though it's risky because he has been hurt some. I don't think he's going to be durable. I don't think you can play him every down. But I do love the fact that, let's say, 25 snaps a game between now and the end of the year,
yeah,
he's going to be able to give you a real jolt of energy. And then when it comes time to play more, maybe in the playoffs, he'll give you more then.
Yeah.
That is the hope of the Rams.
By the way, what you're describing is Antonio Brown to some degree with Tampa, which is when the Seahawks went and got Percy Harvin, they weren't paying Russell Wilson anything. They went and got Percy Harvin, and they're like, yeah, he's got headache issues. But can you imagine him as a threat in a playoff game with all our other weapons? And I do think situationally, Von Miller, you have to prepare for him. I mean, you just have to block him differently than other players. And I think your point is a good one. Peter King, NBCSports.com, Hall of Fame since 1992, a member of Board of Selectors. Great stuff on a Friday. Captivating weekend, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
Yeah. No, that's really the way to put it. It doesn't matter if he plays every down. That's why they brought in Antonio Brown and Gronk, by the way. They knew Gronk was old. They knew Antonio Brown. They already had. But when Antonio Brown comes in motion, your safety or coverage has to move with him. You put Von Miller in a game, okay, our running back can't go out. He's got a chip block. 15 snaps a game. I'll take it. I mean, if you're on a road game in Lambeau and you're playing in the NFC Championship and I get Von Miller for 15 snaps chasing Aaron Rodgers, or a third-round pick next year, a tight end out of Boston College, I'll take Von Miller. It's not that hard.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I love my blazing five picks off a winning week. I really do. You don't understand. I'm being earnest about this. I really love my picks. It doesn't mean I get them always right, but I love doing the homework and providing picks. So at the top of the hour off a winning week, blazing five. So there's two NFL teams, the Indianapolis Colts and the Carolina Panthers, that went out and acquired talented but very reckless quarterbacks, Carson Wentz and Sam Darnold, often criticized quarterbacks. Panthers got some pushback. Colts got some pushback. I liked both moves. So let's review what's happened. Indy is productive. They're viable. They're fun to watch. They've beaten the teams they should be beating, and they may make the playoffs. What's Carolina? 4-4. Viable weekly, have beaten the Saints, Jets, Falcons, and Texans, the team they should beat. And right now they'd be a playoff team. You don't have to hit a home run in free agency, and I do think Carson Wentz is a much better version of Darnold, but you got to swing the bat. It's quarterback. Washington sat on their hands. They're 2-6, boring, and are last in the NFL in attendance and have no pulse. Listen, Kirk Cousins drives me crazy. I thought they overspent for him, but in retrospect, he did win a playoff game. And they always feel like they're, outside of last year and the injuries, they're always kind of viable with Kirk Cousins. Darnold, Wentz, and Cousins. Now, I think Wentz is easily the most talented, but they keep you from being hopeless. Sometimes you even get lucky. Ryan Tannehill is better than anybody thought. I think Wentz is exactly what we thought. Talented, a little reckless. Darnold is what we thought. Talented, but can be reckless. I think Kirk Cousins is what we thought. Not that talented, but, you know, he completes a high number, kind of shrinks in big games. Tannehill is just better than everybody thought. But you got to take a swing. The NFL, not every move has to be a home run at quarterback. What you do not want to do is drive to the facility every day or drive to the stadium on Sunday and be a bad watch. It crushes a locker room. It punctures the spirit, and it feels hopeless. Carolina today would be a playoff team. Indianapolis wouldn't be, but you watched them last night. They're productive with Carson Wentz. If you take out two games against the Titans, he's actually been great. I like the move. I thought it was smart. He's 6'5". He's 230. I thought it was a great reuniting him and Frank Reich. I thought it was smart. And it drives me nuts. And that left-handed pass out of the end zone, I can't unsee it. But you watched them. That team can beat almost anybody. Maybe not the top five or six teams in the league. But you know what? You play them for a couple years. You keep the locker room there. You win games. You're not in chaos. You're not hopeless. Frank Reich talked about Carson after the game.
Been playing a lot of good football this year. He played, you know, I mean, had a couple things at the end of the last game. But, I mean, this was, I mean, he was flawless today. I mean, he was stinking flawless. Complete command of the offense, played with a lot of confidence today from the very start, and really played good football.
Yeah, I mean, Indianapolis and Seattle, one in the AFC and one in the NFC, look like really capable teams with really good quarterbacks and really good coaches that may not make the playoffs. But again, Carolina'd be in today. Indy wouldn't, but they're viable. Minnesota, say what you want about Kirk Cousins. They get on TV. They may not be very good on the late game on Monday night, but they're good in the 1 o'clock window against the teams they should beat. And I think that sometimes in this league, we look at these quarterback free agent moves as you got to hit a home run. Sometimes it's as simple as let's go find a playmaker and be kind of interesting. Let's just be kind of interesting here. Let's keep it afloat. Let's just, because if you're not good at quarterback, then you start getting people peeling off. You got players in the locker room who start doubting management. They start doubting coaching. Your locker room gets divided. And that can get divided with a Wentz or with a Darnold or with a Kirk Cousins. But you don't have to hit a home run with everything. There's nothing wrong with hitting doubles until you find the franchise guy. All right, Blazing 5 is around the corner. Wolfandshepherd.com, check it out. Business shoe that's as comfortable as an athletic shoe. Great merch, stunningly comfortable. Wolfandshepherd.com, Blazing 5, hour 2 is next.